This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Should we buy? Try to win a cup? Or should we be smart, look at what the team has shown us thus far, and make the right move? Good evening. Welcome to Flames Unfiltered, episode number 42, recorded on February 19th, 2020. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube, and we are just days away from NHL trade deadline. Yep, it is approaching, and teams are starting to make a lot of moves, more than I anticipated this early. But I got a feeling I might cool down a little bit and then spark up again on Monday. But a lot of Flames fans freaking out. Why are we not making moves? Why is Treliving not doing anything? Why? Well, I'm with Treliving on this one. No move is sometimes the best move. I think it's time for the Flames fans to have a reality check. What do we think this team is? Do we really believe this team is a contender? Should we sell off our assets and go win a cup? Well, tell me how many times that happens and how often that happens. What has this team proved to us this year? Well, let me make a list for you. We've proved they're inconsistent. We've proved that the stars don't produce. We've proved that we have poor puck management. All these are things championship teams do not do. Oh, well, wait, maybe we're the Blues of last year. Need I remind you that at this point of the season last year, the St. Louis Blues were the hottest team in the league. They were miles above where Calgary is at this point in the year. Today on the show, we're going to recap Monday's weird comeback victory over the Ducks. Then it's time to answer that long-awaited question. Should the Flames be buyers or should the Flames be sellers? Then Blake Fryers from the Debate Hockey Podcast joins the show to talk about trade deadline moves in the Pacific Division. And then we'll roll on to some Flames news and a trip around the NHL, talk about the Lightning, Leon Draisaitl. We'll wrap with a Facebook poll and preview Friday's matchup versus Boston and the start of a nine-day road trip. 5 games, 9 days, that starts Sunday in Detroit. Another jam-packed episode of Flames Talk here on Flames Unfiltered.
The Hockey Podcast Network, which Flames Unfiltered is proud to be part of, has a great podcast called Tales with TR, a hockey podcast. Hosted by former National Hockey League player Terry Ryan. Yep, you heard him on Spit and Chicklets, and he has you laughing on every episode. Check out Tales with TR, a hockey podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
All right, Flames fans, let's talk about that Monday afternoon matinee at the Saddle Dome, Kids Day, call it what you want, President's Day in the States. I don't know. Hate afternoon games. I just hate them. I can't get up for them. I don't know. I've tried. Weird game. I don't even know how to describe it. We're not going to talk a lot about this game. I'm just not. I'm going to just recap it real quickly for you. 10 goals scored. Thank goodness more of them for the Flames than the Ducks. Started off first period, nothing. Second period, Henrique scores 1-0 Anaheim. Mangiapane gets his 11th. Just about a minute later, we're 1-1. Silverberg scores 2-1 after two. Then Delorier scores his third of the year. I think he's gotten all three of them against the Flames. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I know two of them for sure have been. So then it's 3-1. And it's like, all right, cue the comeback. We need the points way more than Anaheim does. Mangiapane gets his second. Bennett scores his eighth. Tkachuk his 20th. Monahan his 18th. Mangiapane pots an empty netter. Yep, a hat trick for Andrew Mangiapane. First time that's ever happened for him in his career in the National Hockey League. And then Devin Shore gets one with just 4 seconds to go to make a 6-3 game, 6-4. Calgary sneaks out 2 points, which are pretty much critical at this point in time in that jam-packed Pacific Division. Now, when this game was over, what did I think? A couple things. The first thought was, I'm very loaded up on cold medicine, and I'm probably not thinking as straight as I should be. Because, again, I am battling another illness, which I don't know if it's because of the Flames play lately that I'm sick, or if it's just a bad winter for me with feeling sick. I'm feeling a little better today, getting over this, and I'm really excited to see how we do Friday night when Boston comes to town. Not a lot to think about this Anaheim game. I was not impressed with how we played. Yes, we scored 6 goals, and we've scored goals a lot lately. Most of them coming from our depth scoring. Don't forget that, Flames fans, our depth scoring. And I don't know. This is one of those where the bounces didn't go our way, but we were managed to get 2 points out of it, 2 critical points, 2 much-needed points, and I was very happy when everything was all said and done, and we left with 2 points.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
All right, now this is what you've been waiting for. I've talked about it for weeks, and I thought, quite honestly, this question would be answered way before this, but not with this team this year. And I'm not trying to sound negative, and you know how much I love the Flames, and you know how much I stand behind this team. But I'm going to be honest. I'm an honest person when it comes, well, with anything, but I'm definitely going to be honest about my team. I'm not one of these fans that tries to paint a picture that everything's going to be great in la-la land and we're going to win a Stanley Cup every year, like our buddies in Vancouver do. Right, fans in Vancouver? You know who I'm talking about, right? So, the question is, buyers or sellers? It's time to make that decision, and I've made the decision. We have 2 games before deadline. One against Boston, one against Detroit. We better get 2 points out of the 4 out of the 4 possible ones. It sure would be nice to get 3. So, what if we get 0? What if we get all 4? Are we really believers if we get all 4? I don't know. Are we really down in the dumps? We're dead if we don't get any? No, probably not. But decisions have to be made by Monday. And here's my decisions. I'm going to make them for Brad Treliving. General managers reward dominant, successful teams with trade deadline acquisitions. Do the Flames deserve this reward? My answer would be no. We have not shown consistency. We have not shown any dominance this year. And we have not been what I would consider a successful team. Isn't this the perfect and final test for our core group? Where we sit right now, isn't this what we want as far as determining what we're really going to get from our core group? Because look at what the core group has got us. It's got us a couple playoff appearances and a couple first-round exits. Well, one went to the second round. I take that back. But that was early on in this core's career when there's a little bit more want and a little bit more drive. Some people will argue that with me. I just watch them on the ice. If there's going to be a failure, it's within this core. And this is where we're going to find it out. Down this final month, 20 games, month and a half, 20 games left, we're going to know what this core has. I do not think we should make any moves at all. Do I think we should be big sellers? No. I think it would really be selling any team, much less this team, short if you trade off your assets before the deadline, if you're in a playoff spot. Now, if we fall 4 games, 4 points, oh, well, it's too late. We can't even fall that far out before deadline. So we're going to have to make a really difficult decision if we're Brad Treliving. And I think you ride Brody and Hamonic and you keep them. You hopefully sign one of them. The other one, you're just going to have to let them go. But right now, when you're looking at the trade markets and the trades we've seen, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later on in the show when we talk to Blake Fryers. The prices have been high. The price tags are high. And I think the only way you're willing to pay a high price tag at deadline is if you're a true cup contender. And yes, I know that any team can win the cup when you get to the playoffs. And quite honestly, Calgary could. This team's fully capable of it. If we get the depth scoring that we're getting right now and NFR Stars started scoring, look it out. David Riddick has proved to us that he can be a great goalie. So was Cam Talbot. Look out. This team has the pieces to make a long playoff run. But I don't think tinkering with it right now and spending a bunch of assets to bring in a deadline guy or a rental player is going to do anything helping this team move forward. Name a player on the deadline list that would save the day in Calgary and fix all the problems. I don't think there is one. I think this is the year that you take advantage of this weak Pacific, play your cards that you have, treat Hamonic and Geo coming back from injury as acquisitions, solidify the forward lines, and get healthy and make a run. You have to do this within. We got ourselves in this problem within. Let's get ourselves out within. Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, prove to me that you're star hockey players in the National Hockey League. True, prove to me that you're winners at the NHL level. Prove it to me. It would be devastating to sell off our assets, like prospects and draft picks, and bring in a rental and then go out in the first round or not even make the playoffs. This core has to step up. This core needs to go forward. This core needs to win. And if not, they need to go. And we're going to find that out this year once and for all. This is a perfect opportunity. The questions will be answered at the end of this season. They will, because they need to prove to us that Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan are winners. We need to see it.
NHL News, opinions, and controversy.
Jordan Flames Unfiltered now for a little Pacific Division pre-deadline moves talk. This is Blake Friars from the Debate Hockey Podcast. You can check that podcast out on Inside Edge Hockey News. Blake, thanks for joining the show here. We're just going to talk a little bit about some of the moves that have happened in the Pacific here the last couple days.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about what our outlook is for the Pacific Division. And I'll get your opinions and your predictions, I guess, as we are just a couple days away from NHL trade deadline. And the first move that kind of took place, and it wasn't really the first one, it was like the second or third move that got things rolling, but the first in the Pacific was Tyler Toffoli heading to Vancouver in return for Tim Schaller, Tyler Madden, a second round 2020 and a conditional fourth round. Quite a price to pay for Vancouver, but also a pretty good asset heading into the playoff stretch for Vancouver. Also, your thoughts on that trade?
I really like it for the Vancouver Canucks. It gives them a right-handed shot that they've desperately needed with Brock Besser out up to 8 weeks. He can play power play. He can kill penalties. He shoots the puck a lot, too, and I think Travis Green is really going to like him in that top six. And once Besser comes back, I think they're going to have a really dangerous top six, but they still got to get into the playoffs. They're still on that, you know, third in the Pacific. I think they're going to get in. They play Minnesota coming up here. But, you know, I really like this trade, though.
Well, with the price you paid, I would hope that Vancouver gets into the playoffs. And yeah. I think they're a quality enough team to do so.
You don't really see in-division trades very much.
You do, though, when teams are in desperation mode like LA is.
Yep.
And LA got a pretty darn good return here. Mm-hmm. Madden's going to...
He's going to be a player.
He's going to be a player. I mean, there's questions there, but you're getting a second round in this year's draft, which is a deep draft. And then Tim Schaller is not a bad player. You know, you just don't know. He's one of those players that you just don't know what you're going to get in the long term with him.
I wouldn't say, like, it's a deep draft, but I think it's a deep, like, top 20 in the first round deep.
A lot of the scouts are saying, though, is that this is a good year to have picks.
So the one thing that does concern me as a Canucks fan is Vancouver's got no picks in the first and second rounds.
Calgary's been there before, and it's not fun.
Yeah, and a team that's been building through the draft the last four to five years. They essentially said, all right, like, the Pacific Division is anybody's to have. All you got to do is get in the playoffs and see what happens. I mean, the way that Markstrom's been playing lately.
But don't you think...
I'm going to go as far as Markstrom takes him.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. I mean, Does Tyler Toffoli, how many games does he win you in the playoffs? I mean, I'm just saying because Markstrom's the guy winning you the games.
He's scored a lot of timely goals right. in his career.
Do you know what I mean, though? I mean, like, what was wrong with their roster?
Well, Brock Besser's hurt.
Yes, but...
He's out 8 weeks.
But he's going to be back for the playoffs.
You can't go eight... And your team's even deeper now for the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's a bad move.
You can't go 8 weeks without replacing Brock Besser's production. You just can't. He's not scoring at the rate he was in his first 2 years in the NHL. He's only got 16 goals, but he still has 44 points in 56 games.
Well, talk to us a little bit about Brock Besser and what he means to the Canucks and, you know... His injury. Talk a little bit about his injury and.
Yeah, he's got a fractured rib cartilage. Originally, it was said to be he was out 3 weeks, and this happened against that Calgary game. Mangiapane hit him right by the bench. It looked harmless to me, and Besser went straight under the tunnel, and he didn't return that game. And
seems like those some of the harmless hits are the ones that
it really was like they were reaching for a puck, and he just like turned his torso the wrong way, but. Brock Besser means everything to this Canucks team. He's one of the best goal scorers in the game. He's got an elite shot, I think. I mean, his shot is a little bit weaker since he hurt his wrist a couple years ago, but, I mean, he's still a guy you got to keep an eye on the power play. I mean, you can't be focused on Pettersson, like, all that. You got to still cover Besser, or else he's going to make you pay. But, I mean, without him for 8 weeks, Tyler Toffoli... It was a high at one moment for a Canucks fan, and then you got the Brock Besser, and it's like, oh boy, like, you know, that made more sense why they traded for Tyler Toffoli.
So your thoughts on Tyler Toffoli as far as long term? Is this a guy that is in the plans to re-sign, or is this just a pure rental this year?
I think that Jim Benning is going to attempt to re-sign this guy. I think he's going to go hard after. You know, he's good friends with Tanner Pearson. I mean, you know, if Vancouver goes in a deep playoff run, Tyler Toffoli is probably more enticed to stay, right? But that being said, I mean, you got to keep in your back pocket that they got to pay Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson in a couple of seasons,
and Markstrom.
But you know, Jim Benning really looked at it and said, "All right, we got Quinn Hughes on an entry level deal for another 2 years. We got Pettersson on entry level for another year. Let's try to." Maybe advance our window a season ahead because our window really doesn't open until next season, I think.
If they get Markstrom signed,
I really think they'll do.
That's the most critical thing if you're a Vancouver fan.
I think he'll sign around a 4 year deal at $6.5 million. But Tyler Toffoli, going back to what he brings to this Canucks team, he brings leadership. He's won a Stanley Cup in 2014. He's got playoff experience on a team that doesn't have much of it. They're a pretty young team, right? And like I said, he brings that shoot-first mentality. And like I said, he drives play, and I think he's going to be great. He's making his debut...
tomorrow night?
Tonight. Pettersson and Miller against the Wild tonight, so we'll see what happens.
Switching gears a little bit to two other teams in the Pacific Division as our rival, the Vegas Golden Knights, acquire Alec Martinez today for a second-round pick in 2020 and a second-round pick in 2021. How much do you think Alec Martinez helps Vegas?
I think he's going to help him a lot. He's going to bring, like I said, veteran leadership, two-time Cup champ, and like every time you bring in a Cup champion to a locker room, I think it really changes the dynamic. I mean, they have a presence in that locker room. They've been there. They've won those big games. He scored the game-winning goal in the 2014 Cup final to win the Kings of Stanley Cup. He scored a lot of big goals in the playoffs. And for a team that doesn't really have much on the left side other than Schmidt and Theodore, he's going to bring a lot to that left side, I think. And if you look at the other side, for the LA Kings, I mean, they're just a team rebuilding and they're stockpiling picks. They got a second from Vancouver. They got two more seconds from Vegas. And, I mean, they're going to be doing a deep dive rebuild here. And I'm curious to see if they trade Jonathan Quick in the summer because
that's going to be a hard move.
That would really send a message that you're in a full rebuild if you unload Jonathan Quick. Because he's 34 years old. Like, the time is ticking to get some for this
guy. I know, but now you traded your guy that was going to follow Quick.
That Cal Pettersson, though, he could be good.
Yeah, no, I'm not. That no, Cal Peterson is not.
But yeah, that Jack Campbell trade didn't make much sense.
Didn't
to
make
me.
Sense to me.
Didn't make sense.
But the outlook for the Pacific Division as we head into the final 20 games of the year is jam packed. As currently, as we're recording, Edmonton sits in first at 70 points. Two games played more is Vegas with also 70 points. Vancouver sits in third with 69 points. Calgary in fourth at 68. And Arizona in fifth at 68. Also, the rest are fairly irrelevant there. San Jose, Anaheim, and LA are done.
Yep.
Where do you see things in these final 20 games shaking out?
I think. I don't know if Edmonton can stay in. Like the
stay in.
Like stay in the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely.
Like I think. Well, I mean,
what have they proven? Even since McDavid's out, they
lost Klefbom for 2 to 3 weeks now, and like their D core is pretty thin as is, and that might hurt Edmonton. Like losing Klefbom.
Well, sure, you never want to lose
best defenseman,
one of your key guys here. But if you had to pick a team who's going to win the Pacific right now, who do you think?
I'd probably say Vegas or Vancouver.
I'd say Vegas would be my
Vegas
choice.
Or Vancouver would probably be my pick, and I think Calgary's going to hold on to the wild card spot. I really do. Their guys are going to figure it out. You got to think like
we've been saying that Johnny for Gaudreau, 62 games.
Like Johnny Gaudreau,
we've been saying it for 62 games.
I think he's going to come on the next 20. He's going to come on. I think they're.
Like, well, we'll find out.
They need somebody to put the puck in the net. I think he's going to step
up. We'll find out. This is perfect. This is exactly what I want. Yeah. We are going to find out in Calgary.
Who Johnny Gaudreau is?
No, we're going to find out who our core is.
Well, you're going to find out. Like,
and we're going to know.
These next 20
at
games.
The end of this 20 games.
Yeah.
And the playoffs,
who's
if we're
on
fortunate.
This team and who's not.
Exactly. And because moves are going to happen if this team doesn't make the playoffs.
Absolutely. They have to. I mean, and the thing is, like, if Calgary misses the playoffs, there's no way Johnny Gaudreau's on this team next year.
I don't think if they miss the first round that there's any way Johnny Gaudreau's on this team next year.
Miss the first round?
If they go out in the first round.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think that Johnny Gaudreau, make the playoffs or not, is gone in the summer.
You think, so what if we go into the third round? Is he gone?
Yeah, that's different.
You know, I think he stays. I don't know. I just hope and pray. I'm not trying to sound like I want Johnny Gaudreau gone, but this core has to figure it out. We've got to get maximum production from
Gaudreau. You got to get Gaudreau healthy back.
Yes, but here's the deal, though.
And
this has been the whole thing all year, is name me a team in the league that is successful when their top two stars aren't producing. Nobody.
Not much. Yeah, like,
and you can point fingers on this Flames team and you can say our depth scoring hasn't been on, which if somebody says that now, they're an idiot, because all only people that score on this team is our depth. If you can point it at
the sheet, like
you can point it at the goaltenders, you can do whatever you want, defense, whatever. The fact of the matter is, name me one team that's been a good team in the National Hockey League where their top two star forwards aren't producing. Doesn't happen.
Sean Monahan is supposed to be known as a good two-way center.
Well, he's a minus 20. He's actually been better this year, believe it or
minus
not.
20, though.
Yeah, like because that, his like line, that, because they're not scoring though. That's the thing.
That's true.
Your minus, gets inflated when you aren't scoring, and when Gaudreau and Monahan are working at about 20% of the productivity as they were last year, everything's going to look bad.
Hanifin struggled a lot lately too.
You know, we just
defensively.
There has been, you know, and I knew it coming out of last year when I look and I'm like, career year.
Yeah.
Wow, next year is going to be a struggle because you can't replicate career years. Yeah, Vancouver is going to have this problem next year because you can't replicate career year after career year after career year. It doesn't happen. Every guy can't
tough.
Do that.
It's
every guy can't do that.
Every guy can't do it, but a couple guys can. This year, the Calgary hasn't had anybody.
Nobody. And if you look at other years for other teams,
like
Tampa Bay 3 years ago, gong show, greatest team ever.
Two years ago,
they missed the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
The year after.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as happening in Calgary right now.
Yeah.
You just didn't get the production like you did the year before from the Stars.
Yeah.
And then you missed the playoffs. And you might come back and be a great team again. But it's not, you can't base it off of career years.
One bright spot for Calgary is, though, Elias Lindholm, 27.
He's great. He's been great. But you know what's another negative? Is take a look at the schedule ahead for Calgary. It's scary.
Let me take a look.
It's a real, real scary, scary test ahead.
Let's take a look at their schedule. Boston, Detroit, Boston, Nashville, Tampa.
Yeah. The road is not easy. Yikes. Yeah.
You should beat Detroit, though.
I don't know. We probably got a better chance of beating Boston because we seem to play better against the better teams. We really do.
You guys have a good game, and then you guys let in four to Anaheim.
Yep. It's a crazy thing. Trade deadline is Monday at 3 o'clock. Where are we seeing this, Blake? Is this going to be a lot of moves, little moves? What's your prediction?
Be one big splash, one big trade. I can't tell you who, but I think there's going to be one big trade.
Well, it'll be interesting.
It'll be, defensemen traded for picks. And
I got a feeling my thoughts on it are that we've seen a lot of moves initially here. The prices have been extremely high. I think general managers are going to shift back now and be like, I'm not paying that. And then we're going to be quiet. And then Monday we'll get a few moves and it'll be all said and done.
Calgary will be in on Kyle Palmieri if the price comes down.
I don't know. The price is going to have to come down a lot. Because what they're asking now is off the charts.
Chris Kreider, they want a first-round pick, a top prospect, an NHL player, and a conditional pick.
And if anybody gives that for... Crazy, the thing is, New York doesn't want to get rid of Kreider.
They don't.
So if you don't want to get rid of him, you can put price tags on things that are like off the charts.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're not going to get it. No team's going to give up that.
Yeah.
Because Chris Kreider is no guarantee of a Stanley Cup.
No.
Well, it should be interesting as we head into trade deadline day. Some important games lie ahead for both Vancouver and Calgary as we get ready for another entertaining Monday afternoon. Thanks for joining me, Blake. I do appreciate it. And I would say good luck to the Canucks, but I'm not going to say that.
Hey, let's win some money. Make your hockey knowledge pay off by playing. Playline 50K, the Hockey Podcast Network Daily Lotto. Win big with Playline. Use promo code THPN and you're set to win big bucks. Oh yeah, it takes some hockey knowledge, but you have that.
All right, Flames fans, time to go into the locker room a little bit. Little Flames news. Monday, Flames called up Glenn Godden from the AHL Stockton. Returned him Thursday. He was potentially going to play Monday night with Backlund sick, but Backlund did skate in the pregame skate and was good to go for the game. So Glenn Godden missed his opportunity at his first NHL game. I look forward to seeing him. He was sent back to Stockton. I got a gut feeling we'll still see him once this year, and I'm really looking forward to see how the young forward does. I have high, high hopes for him. Derek Ryan was sick, is now back at practice. He missed two games due to the illness. Good to see Derek Ryan back. He is a key cog up the middle for this Flames team. Mark Giordano will travel on this five-game road trip, which will span 9 days and start Sunday in Detroit. He has started skating a couple days ago. We'll make this road trip. Brad Treliving stated that there was no timetable exactly when he'd come back, but he said we're not bringing him on the road trip without the opportunity of possibly having him back. A timeline for Travis Hamonic is still very up in the air, week to week at best. On the good news front, the Flames hosted their 15th annual Ambassadors Celebrity Charity Poker Tournament this Wednesday, which raised more than $5 million, a great event for even a greater cause. Around the National Hockey League, a couple little odds and ends notes. As the Lightning set a franchise record with their 11th straight win, they became the first team to win 40 games for the third straight season, which is amazing. I mean, think about that. They're the third team in NHL history to accomplish this feat in three or more consecutive campaigns. The Oilers have done it. The Canadiens have done it. And that is it. That's pretty impressive. This Lightning team, is this the year where we're going to see this team break free and really move in the standings and prove to us what a powerhouse this team could be? This is one team that I would be deathly afraid to play in the first round this year after what had happened to this team last year, being surprised by Columbus in the first round. Leon Draisaitl moves within 5 points of 100 as Oilers pass the Canucks in the standings. We'll see if the Oilers can stay ahead of the Canucks in the standings as both teams are in action today. Leon Draisaitl has just been on a tear. He opened a 13-point lead for the Art Ross Trophy and has moved within 5 points of his second straight 100-point season. boy, you hate it when you see a rival have such impactful players as Edmonton does with McDavid and Draisaitl. Moving on to a Flames question of the week. And I did another little Facebook poll thanks to my friends at Calgary Flames Hockey. And I tell you what, I get such great responses and we have such intelligent hockey fans, but I am not agreeing with everything I'm seeing here tonight on the poll. The poll question is, should the Flames, or what should the Calgary Flames do before Monday's NHL trade deadline? The three options: buy, sell, or do nothing. Well, you guys all know my answer from earlier on in the show, and mine was to do nothing. Well, that is not how our listeners believe. 104 of the people voted for buying. They want to buy and make a run at the cup right now. 54 answered sell. Excuse me, I said that wrong. 54% said, not 54%, 54 voters. Boy, I've got this all messed up here tonight. I got to get my act together here. I'm sounding like the Flames played here in the last couple of weeks. Boy, I'm getting down on them. I don't know. Maybe my expectations are just too high this year. I think it's just because when you watch a team and you see the talent that the Flames have and you see their top producers not producing, it's heartbreaking. It is, because I know this team this is a good hockey team, you guys. And if we had Monahan and we had Gaudreau producing, could you imagine where we could go with that? I mean, just think about that. So we had 179 people responded. 104% said the Flames need to be buyers. 54, which I was part of that, said do nothing. And just 21 said sell. Well, I don't know. I just have a hard time right now spending money on, or spending assets to bring in rentals for this team. I don't believe there's a thing you could plug in here that's just going to be the magical fix. I think the magical fix comes with our stars and really determining if our stars are going to be stars. Are they capable? Yeah, they're totally capable. And would I give anything to see Gaudreau and Monahan just take off on a tear and this team win 14 of the last 20 and roll into the playoffs with some confidence? Yeah, I'd feel real comfortable winning the first round, to be honest with you. I like our parts. I think we've underachieved this year. I think we overachieved last and underachieved this year. It'll be interesting. Again, thanks to our friends at Calgary Flames Facebook group. Get on there if you're a Flames fan, which you are if you're listening to this. Get on there, join that Facebook group. It's fun. We talk hockey every single night. Flames stuff, chatter, our thoughts on what the Flames should do, how the players are playing. Just good old Calgary Flames talk.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Calgary Flames fans. Two games to preview here before we record our next episode. Next episode, it's recorded Sunday night, drops Monday on the Hockey Podcast Network. You can also check all of these episodes out on flamesunfiltered.com. Game previews Friday night. Back at it at the Saddle Dome as the Boston Bruins come to town for a Friday night, which rare Friday night. We don't play Friday nights very often, but we are this week. Calgary currently sits 31-24-6, 68 points. That's good for fourth in the Pacific Division. Boston currently stands 37-11-12, good for 86 points, first in that Atlantic Division. This Boston Bruins team has been deadly this year. A lot of fun to watch. This is a quality hockey team. Their last action was a 3-1 win Sunday over the New York Rangers. The first meeting of the year for these two teams. Sunday, a mid or late afternoon battle as Calgary starts that 9-day, 5-game road trip, which will be critical to if this team makes the playoffs or not. And it starts in Detroit where, yep, you said it, should be two easy points. Calgary just hasn't been really good at sealing the deal against crummy teams in the standings. Season series with Detroit thus far, 5-1 Calgary win back on October 17th in Calgary. That was the one and only meeting of the year between the two teams. This will be the final of the home and home that we do with the Eastern Conference. Monday, NHL trade deadline. We will have our final preview to deadline Sunday night as we record, which will drop Monday on the Hockey Podcast Network. We will back that up with another episode after the deadline on Wednesday evening. Enjoy Calgary Flames hockey. The big bad Bruins come to town on Friday night.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.